Truett Cathy is founder and chief executive officer of Chick-fil-A Incorporated. Mr. Cathy established his first diner, known as the Dwarf House, in 1946. In 1967, he opened the first Chick-fil-A restaurant in Atlanta's Greenbrier Shopping Center. Today, Chick-fil-A is the second largest quick-service chicken restaurant chain in the United States, even though they are not open for business on Sundays. Currently, there are more than 1,340 locations around the country. Mr. Cathy is noted for his philanthropy to the community and especially to its young people. The Windshape Foundation awards scholarships to 20 to 30 students to attend Berry College each year. In addition, Chick-fil-A has donated more than $22 million to its student employees since 1973. A third program that Mr. Cathy created is Windshape Homes, which supplies long-term family care to children ages 6 to 16. Mr. Cathy and his wife Jeanette have two sons, one daughter, 12 grandchildren, and more than 150 foster grandchildren. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Truett Cathy.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I guess y'all heard that I was going to give away BI gift cards today, and little cows, and a calendar. That's a good deal, isn't it? I hope all of you have been notified that we are selling the books. Would like to give you one, but I'm told when you give a book away, it's seldom read. So by necessity, I have to sell it to you, so I make sure that you do read it. But this is maybe a book that I would hope that you get. It's only $10. And the title of it, How Did You Do It, Truett? Does it have a nice ring to it? I let go of all my secrets. So if I don't say anything that might be of interest to you, maybe you'd be interested in the book as well. But thank you for inviting me. I feel honored when a group asked me to speak. Someone asked me this evening, says, do you get many speaking engagements? I said, well, I get a lot of first-time speaking engagements, but seldom has anybody asked me back. So this is my first time with you folks, and I'm indeed honored, and I appreciate your presence, and hope you enjoy Chick-fil-A, wherever you might go. We do have more than 1,300 stores now. We're still growing. We're still a private company, and we hope to remain that way. And I have a commitment from my children that they'll continue the policy that we've established about never going public and always closing on Sunday. So we have that commitment for the next generation. Three of my grandchildren now are operating Chick-fil-A units now, so I'm spilling over into the third. And who knows, it might go on to the fourth. But the Lord has been very gracious. I think it's a high calling being in the food business where you have an opportunity of meeting the physical needs of people as well as emotional needs. I find a lot of people go out to eat and they're not even hungry. They're looking for fellowship in one another as we're doing today, fellowship around the table. People ask me, when did you get started in the restaurant business? And I say, well, really got started when I was 8 years old, even earlier than that. I was brought up in the Deep Depression, and I don't see anyone else remembers that, having a personal experience during the Depression. But I've enjoyed the time of poverty. I enjoy the time of plenty, much prefer the time of plenty. But there's lessons to be learned when you're brought up in poverty, where you have a struggle for a place to live as well as food for our table. And that was our situation. My dad was in the real estate business down in South Georgia. Back then, everything was predicated on the production and the sale of cotton. And back then, you couldn't even sell property for taxes that was on it. So I necessarily moved to Atlanta and tried to make a living. My mother became the breadwinner for our family. And she rented a house, and she took in boarders. Young people say, what's a boarding house? is that a condominium or apartment where they serve your breakfast in bed? I said, not exactly like that. We furnished a bed in a room, two meals a day, and the fee was $7 a week. So I'd like to have a deal like that today. I'd say, when I was a kid, the only thing that I can remember that I had to play with was a loose tooth. And it wasn't mine, it was my brother's. Did y'all ever have a tooth fairy to come see you? You put your pillow, your tooth on your pillar, and you get two or three pennies. Tooth fairy. I tested this here a few months ago. I got a loose tooth, had it pulled. I carried it home. I told my wife, I'm going to put this tooth under my pillow to see if the tooth fairy is still living. Sure enough, he shows up. Guess what I got? $5 on that. So I was told I could buy anything I wanted, and I didn't have to account for it. But y'all might test that yourself in your home sometime when you, if you have a tooth to pull, see what happens. Because he is alive. But as I mentioned, I felt a calling in the business I am, where you serve people, meeting the physical needs, emotional needs, and sometimes even the spiritual needs. I was drafted in the Army when I finished high school, so I didn't get to go to college, but that never bothered me because I never did like to go to school anyway. But I enjoyed working. There's nothing wrong with getting the job done and enjoying what you're doing. So that's very, very important. But after being discharged from the Army, by the experiences I've had in my younger days, carrying a newspaper route with the Atlanta Journal for 7 straight years, and before that, buying Coke 6¼, selling for a nickel apiece, and recognized a 5-cent profit. So that idea sold out. I would get six more. Y'all remember buying Coke 6¼, don't you? Nobody? And if later, when I accumulated the resources, I flagged down the Coke truck, able to find a full case of Coke, was 24 Cokes for 80 cents. If you got any CPAs in here and you brought your calculator with you, if you took 24 of them multiplied by 5, then deduct 80 cents for your cost, you make yourself 40 cents. To me, that was big business. And during that period of time, that I learned a lot about serving the customers, meeting the customers' needs. We had a Atlanta, Georgia, and I don't know whether any of you remember that, about the competitive paper to the Atlanta Journal. And I didn't mind waking people up 11:30 or 12 o'clock, said, I need one more start, one trip to Jacksonville Beach. And if you take pay for me, I put it behind the screen door up on the rocking chair where the dogs won't chew it up. And so today, I live on kind of a rural route on a farm, and my paper is delivered by a car going 50 or 60 miles an hour. And I always feel it's my lucky day to find the paper. So the usually bounces over the shrubbery, into the shrubbery, and I go home at night. Asked my wife, did you get the paper? I said, no, I didn't see it out there. So here I go out with a flashlight trying to find my paper. It's my lucky day when I find I have a newspaper that's not in the water and not in the shrubbery somewhere. But it's very important your business people realize the importance of serving customers, meeting the physical needs. And we practice that courtesy is very cheap and pays great dividends. And I hope you would realize the people at Chick-fil-A are somewhat different. Some of them go in shock when you have been, say, thank you, and you get your response, my pleasure. I am motivated by young people. 2/3 of our operators has grown up at Chick-fil-A. They worked for us in high school and college. So I give a lot of emphasis to young people, give them opportunities, and I feel that I have hopes for them, for the future of, for the older people. I've given up on them, and they've had that chance and blown it. But nevertheless, I do have hope for young people. We talk about the young people, the next part of them. But I can assure you, there's a lot of young people out there very anxious to please and serve. And we've tried to encourage these individuals as well as meeting the physical needs. And it's been, we have a turnover rate of over 3.5%. That would include 550 people on our staff, as well as 1,350 Chick-fil-A units. So this kind of unheard of in business, particularly in the restaurant business, where you have that much many dedicated, committed people. More than 200 of our people have been with me 20 years or longer. So you see the quality of our people as well as the stability of them. And in every process, we correct people. We say, well, if you don't plan to be here 10 years from there, you ought to go somewhere else. But it has been very advantageous to me to have people that's fully committed to the task and really to pay stickability and do their very, very best. We have generated last year $2.3 billion, so we hope to increase that as time goes on. Back in 1982, we had a concern that I have since a private company that we are, that we just moved into a $10 million corporate headquarters, most money I've ever even thought about borrowing. And this year, interest on borrowed money, 21%. This year, it looked like all the fast food was getting into the chicken breast sandwich business, which caused the breast of the chicken to be inflated. And I was more concerned than anyone else. But Ben, remember Depression days, that you can have it well one day and lose the rest of after that. So I called a meeting for 8 of our people, what we call the executive committee, to have a 2 days off a place called Pine Island here in metro Atlanta to ask ourselves some important questions. Important, why are we alive? Why are we in business? What are we going to do about these problems that was anxious to solve? But as the problem at hand, we had no way of controlling those. So someone got up to the blackboard. We never put down in print what our corporate purpose is. But at that particular time, all of us participating, they came away that this might be Chick-fil-A's corporate purpose, that we might glorify God by being a faithful steward, and all is entrusted to our care, that we might have a positive influence on all the people that we come in contact with. Could you digest that? To glorify God by being a faithful steward, all is entrusted to our care, and that we might have a positive impact on all the people that we come in contact with. We went back and stared at with our staff people and asked them to support this. And the question was asked, why, what else did you do? And I said, we didn't do anything. So we didn't have the answer for pressing problems. And so we, following Christmas, staff got together and gave me this huge bronze plaque engraved on that, my name, as well as a corporate statement there. And I'm not one who likes to put up signs demonstrating what you are, but I said, well, where in the world should we put this? And they said, well, why don't you put it right outside the front door? We'll be reminded of you, Chuck, Kathy, as well as the rest of us. And so we did. It meant a lot to me at the time, but I'm faced with it every day. I go in and out our corporate or a reminder. So a lot of times we set goals and aspirations for ourselves and yet get lost in the shuffle somewhere or another. But here's a reminder to each of us how we should conduct ourselves. And this would include salespeople, disgruntled customers maybe, employees that you have to call in and ask for their resume. How are you going to have a positive impact on all the people you come in contact with? So we're still making that effort. And we hope that we're halfway successful in living up to what I should be. That following year, we had a tremendous year. This year that we had a 36% increase in sales. Never done it up that time, haven't done it since that time. We have an incentive award where our operators, we have a 40% increase in sales 1 year over the year previous, that we give them a brand new Lincoln Continental to drive for a year. And we tell them, maybe you don't like to drive Lincolns, but they look nice in you sitting in your driveway. You might impress some of your friends or neighbors about it. And but that year we had 46 winners. You'd like to bankrupt the company trying to buy a Lincoln Continental. That didn't stand pretty very well with bankers. And so, but in addition to that, it seemed like gates of opportunity were open. One of the gates of opportunity of associating ourselves with Berry College. That time, Gloria Chateau was the president. Steve is today. I was asked to come up and speak to their business classes a couple of days. I've always lived in Georgia, always heard about Berry College, but never been there. And so I was so impressed to see this facility sitting there, the world's largest campus. It used to be 28,000. You all sold off some of that. But it was, she started off in a Sunday school situation, carrying a Bible and a bag of apples, where she gave apples to all those that came up, and she'd read them Bible stories. She realized she didn't have a school, so she approached the right people. She went to Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie, Theodore Roosevelt to seek resources to build what is known as the world's largest campus, I might add, the most beautiful campus in the world. And so we, I invited Gloria to come out and speak to our Airport Rotary Club. It was there that she shared with me and said, trustees voted to close the academy. They're supporting school 8 through the 12th grade. Said they voted to close it, but didn't give me any direction what to use it for. Do you have any ideas what we could use that for? I called my wife and I go back up there. It's beautiful, located 3 miles away from the main campus. Encompass a beautiful library, chapel, dormitory, dining room, practically new gymnasium, just sitting there. And I said, well, surely this might be used for preferably educational purposes. So we worked with the staff there. We came up with a formula that we'd offer these students that would come there and live, commute 3 miles away for the education. And we offered them at that time $10,000 tuition scholarship. And we was able to attract 68 wonderful students, 34 boys, 34 girls, and very wonderful students to start the following September to take advantage of that $10,000 scholarship that we was offering. Today, we have 125 students there, and they own a $32,000 scholarship, half of that absorbed by Berry College and half by Chick-fil-A. So we've grown from that. In addition to that, we built 3 foster homes there. First foster home was built on Berry College, and we started a camp for boys and girls where this last summer we had more than 2,000 boys and girls to have a 2-week camp experience there called WinShape, shaping individuals to be winners. And again, I have hopes of the young people if you're given proper instructions as well as proper encouragement. Do you know how you can tell when a person needs encouragement? If they're breathing, need encouragement. That I get a lot of encouragement, never got an overdose of encouragement, though. But what a change it can take place by just simply encouraging people to accomplish their goals. And I'm one who believe a person can do anything if they really want to. I firmly believe that. And the book that was introduced to me when I was in high school said, Think and Grow Rich. I'm not rich yet, but I'm still thinking about it. And anything you can conceive and believe can achieve. And I find that, my first book says, it's easier to succeed than it is to fail. Because if you fail, you got to redo it again. go ahead and make the right decisions, make it right enough that I feel you can accomplish anything if you really want to. If you don't have that want to, you know, nothing else going to work. I know when I opened up our first restaurant, which was 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, I was single. So I was totally committed to my task there. I got a room right next door. I was single. And so I got room there. I made myself available any hour that needed me, that I would be there. And that's when, in the beginning, we made it seem about closing on Sunday. And that's been the best business decision I've made, closing on Sunday. Reporter asked me, so how do you figure that? Because 20% of the sales are generated in fast food on Sunday. And I said, well, number one, an honest God, and I close on Sunday. I've been taught to go to Sunday school and church on Sunday. And it wasn't hard at all since we'd opened 24 hours a day and sometimes haven't worked 24 hours a day for 6 days. You're ready for a break. And so that came that we'd make this thing close on Sunday even though we needed the sales. And so I had an opportunity to testify in Washington 3 years ago when talking about business ethics. My statement there was no such thing as business ethics. It's personal ethics. It's the people that makes the company. Company doesn't do wrong. It's the people that cause it to happen. And secondly, I saw no conflict whatsoever in biblical principles and good business practice. They work. People say you have to be a Christian work to Chick-fil-A. I said, not at all. That's a personal relationship that you form your faith in Jesus Christ, and that, but that's a decision they get to make. But we would ask you to make a business decision on biblical principles. And I have no one to ever argue with me about that, because it's all written out how to even operate a restaurant. Where it's been, we teach our young people just the golden rule: treat others like you like to be treated when you go out to eat. That you like to be greeted with a bunch of smiling faces. Demonstrate a serving spirit, and if they happen to say thank you in response, we say my pleasure. And this puts people in shock because they don't find that treatment in many fast food. And today we can compete with our strongest competition simply because of our people that we've been able to attract. Best location we can find is right next door to McDonald's. And it's really amazing what the quality of our people. Food is important, consistent in your food. We try to tell our operators you can build business on bad coffee as long as you're consistent about it. But don't change coffee brand every time a salesman come in, try to tell you that coffee is better. So we've tried to be consistent. I hope you'll find Chick-fil-A the same here in California and other places. The quality of our food as well as courtesy for our people. The instruction is what we say. The influence is what we do. And the image is what we are. How important is business leaders that we're careful to instruct people the proper time. That you give them words of correction but also words of encouragement. Image is what you are. How important it is not only you take care of your person, your what you say, but the more important what you say to people. Your action speaks louder than our words, and so we try to practice what we preach. We have a lot of groups come through our corporate headquarters. One particular time, that we had a bunch of 75 kindergarten group to come in, and I began to ask them what they want to be when they grow up. They want to be a teacher, doctor, various things. I don't think any of them said they want to be a lawyer. But but one little boy said he wanted to be a zookeeper. Oh, that opened the eyes and ears of all the other six-year-olds. They want to be a zookeeper. Zookeeper. I said, gee, I wish I remembered that, knew about that, to get paid for playing with the animals. But one little boy kept on raising his hand. He said, I said, son, what would you like to be? He said, when I grow up, I want to be like you. Wow, that struck me emotionally. I picked the little six-year-old up. I said, that's the highest compliment that I've ever received, to have a little six-year-old that wasn't prompted by a dog to tell he would grow up be like me. A case like that, I'm going to be very careful what I do and what I say. So he's worked for Chick-fil-A now. He's in college. I hope he'll be playing a career at Chick-fil-A. You never know. He might have an influence on other people because your actions speak louder than your words. How important. Use the right language, but also carry out your actions. Structure is what you say, what you do, what actions you take. But get this, the image is what we are. We create in the image and the likeness of our Creator, our Heavenly Father, our Good Shepherd, our Counselor, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Think about it. Created in that sort of image, that it puts an awesome responsibility to be at our best at all times, regardless of the circumstances. When you realize that, I ask myself as well as you, why not perform at our very best? Because we're happy that way. Why not perform at our very best at all times? Why not? Why not? Why not? Thank you very, very much. The time is gone. Okay, I've got time for some questions that you have. If the easy question, I'll be able to ask them for you. Well, thank you. I got some little helpers out there. I hope they will help me if you have a question. And maybe they've already written a question out on a card pertaining to my book or my life. And I don't have anything in the closet. So any question you want to ask me, I'll be glad to attempt to answer them.
We probably actually have more questions than we have time for, but let's try to get in as many as we can. The first question is, how did you create the recipe for your Chick-fil-A sandwich?
Who asked that question? Can you keep a secret? Can you all? Okay. Well, so can I. But the very, very near what it is, it just happened to be all the seasoning I put out in my kitchen one day, and I blended all that together and wanted to see what would happen. It has more than 20 ingredients in it. So I was trying to make it as complicated as possible so your competition couldn't repeat it. But that basically is a recipe we use for the Chick-fil-A today. Taking away and adding, I had the opportunity to start creating Chick-fil-A, originally calling it Chicken Steak Sandwich. And then I tested on my customers. And when I got up to the forum where it seemed like no one offered any suggestions, I leave it just like it is. And so we built a Chick-fil-A, a boneless, skinless breast of chicken served on a hot toasted butter bun with kosher dill chips on it as well. And so it's 90% of the people accept it just the way it is. It's not mayonnaise and stuff like that. You get greasy, but butter and that toast just right, and the chicken piping hot. Try to practice, keep the hot food hot, keep the cold food cold. So I hope you'll have a Chick-fil-A. We can prepare it in 4 minutes. So we try to serve that within 15 minutes after it's cooked. Long answer, so maybe we got another one.
Why not become a public company?
All right, for two reasons. Number one is I'm afraid I lose my job. Next thing is it takes a lot of privileges out that I have being a private company. And since we don't have stockholders to pay and someone board of directors telling you what to do and not do, that we have a lot of privileges to that. And I know that some have fared pretty well, but even Warren Buffett agrees I did the right thing by staying private, because there's a lot of privileges being a private company if you're successful. And fortunately, I had two restaurants, and one of them was for my livelihood, the other for investment. So we feel like I can borrow all the money that I want due to my credit rating. So why not just put everything on the line? Everything I have is predicated on Chick-fil-A. I thoroughly believe in what I was doing. So we have been blessed by having resources that we, as well as not having to be dictated what to do. So I think it's distinction. Right? I think a public company is more interested in bottom line. We're interested in people.
Okay. Who do you admire most in the world today?
Well, business wise, I say Warren Buffett. I've got a acquaintance with him, and he's a very easy guy to talk with and be friends with. And I think we're all of knowledge that we'd see Kent Swisson come to investments. Another person besides my mom and my wife had a great impact on my life was a Sunday school teacher that I had when I was a teenager. We had the same Sunday school teacher about 3 years in a row, where that his son carried a paper out along with me, and he would spot my papers for me. And the thing that very impressive was that he gave all of his children and his wife a brand new automobile drive for a year. I mean, for life. He had a small business. His name is Theo Abbey, which I guess that led me into being a Sunday school teacher someday, because I know the impact that he had on my life. I had a dad, but he wasn't the dad kind of dad I go to for a problem. Not would you ever get up on Sunday morning and help me with my paper out like other fathers did. So I looked to him as a role model for me to be the same as he was. So you never know when you have an impact on people. We do have an impression, effect in one way or the other among particularly young people.
What is the most enjoyable part of your day at Chick-fil-A, and what is your least favorite task?
Well, every day you can get up, put your shoes on, it's an enjoyable day at 8 to 6. But I enjoy coming to work. Martha here tries to tell me, you don't take a day off. You had to work Saturday and Sunday. You ought to take a day off. And it's very difficult for me to take a day off. It seems like every day ought to be a productive day. And to be do nothing is a waste of time. And I can stay at about 24 hours doing nothing. But that's hard work, too, trying to do nothing. But your question was
your most enjoyable part of your day and your least favorite task?
Well, I guess working my children is maybe one of the most enjoyable things that you can't buy with dollars and cents. A lot of things saying can bring a lot of joy to individuals that you can't buy with dollars and cents. I guess all the knowledge that I collect classes for automobiles. I enjoy that. If you come out my corporate headquarters, we got a group out there, including a Batmobile. I got a, you know what the word doozy means? It's a Duesenberg. Have a Duesenberg. And we've got many, many other cars. It's kind of a disease I have of collecting cars that you don't drive. You look at them. But it has been an enjoyable pastime for me. But people that I've had so much fun seeing these young people grow up to be career people with Chick-fil-A. I have 15 people I was in my Sunday school class time past. So those are bringing joys. Joys just came by with dollars and cents. I enjoy taking advantage of it.
I've got a sports-related question here. What advice would you give to Arthur Blank regarding the Falcons and Coach Petrino?
Well, I'd say get a good coach and good quarterback. I asked by Richard one day. He was played on the New York Yankees for 9 years. He played more World Series games than any other, and he's now a coach. I said, Bobby, what's more important, the coach or the players? He said, well, I guess it would be the players more important than the coach. That coach better pick good players. So both hand in hand to have a team, you got to have a complete team, everybody working together. You can't just depend on the quarterback doing the job. You got to have a whole team working together. So I hope we'll get some favorable remarks about the Falcons in short time.
What is the next step for Chick-fil-A?
Next step is continue to grow what we're doing. I'm one who tries to take advantage of unexpected opportunities. My sons, Chalmers and Dad, let's set some goals. Where are we going to be 5 years from or 10 years? And I said, well, let's just remember to take advantage of unexpected opportunities. That's been my life throughout life. I never planned on Chick-fil-A. When I had two restaurants, I realized I had one too many then. So the Lord took care of that one, burned down to the ground. But came that, a birth of Chick-fil-A. So he has a purpose in all things. And sometimes we don't realize it till later on. But my relationship with Berry College just kind of by accident. Wonderful relationship. And we've grown from that to do many things that we didn't expect to be. I never expected to have a company with doing $2 billion in sales. But it's a privilege that I have. And I hope that I'm fortunate enough to have three children that are fully committed to Chick-fil-A, as well as other things involved in. Also, 12 grandchildren, and three of my oldest grandchildren now operating Chick-fil-A units. So it's spilling over into the third generation, and who knows, it might go to the fourth generation. But when you enjoy doing what you're doing, it's fun. And that is when you're putting your heart and soul into it. All my children are brought up to work. That's important. I hope that the resource I have, I'm spoiled them. But all of them were brought up to work. My son travels, and I just mentioned table members here, that my son sleeps out with the customers on Wednesday night. He said he slept out more with the customers on Wednesday night than he had his wife, because this is time to offer a free meal every week for a year to first 100 customers. So we find them sleeping out 24 and 36 hours ahead of time. So if you'd like to join the fun, you just try it sometime. I came through Missouri with Dan, and he was going to sleep out with the customer. I said, you take me to the hotel. I said, I got 2 inches of snow, and that place was covered up like Tent City.
Time for just a couple more quick questions. How can we best teach and educate the next generation of young people, especially when it comes to things like work ethic, a heart for service, character, and personal and social responsibility?
Well, it's too bad the federal government hinders young people from working not until they get 16, some circumstance 15. But, gee, I have a lot of 13-year-old boys in my Sunday school class who would love to go to work right then. That's some prime time, being starting business 8. And I've always matured enough to realize the value of a dollar and the value of hard work. And so I think keep them busy. And don't forget that to help them to not only what you say, but you know, what you do is very important. That parents, sometimes kids don't hear from the dad except to scold them about something. But we are involved in a program called All Pro Dad. If you know of that, we are working, trying to encourage dad to take the child out to eat at least once a month on a one-on-one basis, preferably at Chick-fil-A, but anywhere where you get opportunity to just have some talk together. Talk with the young people about anything they're willing to talk to you about. I think mistakes, they never hear from the dad. And I consider the dad the chief executive officer the president of the greatest institution in the world, and that be the home. We're seeing the breakdown of our homes. We're seeing the breakdown of Bible teachings, and we don't know what the next generation will be up to. But to me, when I was in school, I was public school in the third grade. To have a Bible verse bring to school on Monday morning to your homeroom teacher, then she select one to be the Bible verse for the week. Mine was selected. It was Proverbs 22:1. My name was put up on the board, written out Proverbs 22:1, that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And if you know the story of Michael Vick, how much it cost him. Just because of name, he still played football. He lost his name, his reputation there. And so the Bible knows what it's talking to. The good name is rather be chosen than great riches. And today, the older I get, the more I realize the importance of maintaining a good name, particularly in the restaurant business, as well as your personal name. And once it's scarred, it's hard to reset. And we see many business executives doing well, but yet wealth is worse on people than failure itself and how it would affect the sales. I have a well-known individual that made a lot of money, but he set up when his children got 16, they get $60,000 a year for the rest of their life with no effort. That's the worst decision that father made because of the fact they have been brought up to what's hard work will do for you, the importance of working hard. My son says he went to work at Chick-fil-A, the Dwarf House, 9 months before he was born. Because my wife was pregnant, but she was there working with Dan. But Dan and Bubba and Trudy, and I go to work, first thing they did, go around the parking lot, clean off the parking lot. We were not able to work behind, well, they that back didn't have labor laws like they do today. But they was taught to work. You need to keep our young people busy and keep the important things important by demonstration.
And we'll close with kind of a personal question. How often do you indulge in one of those hand-spun milkshakes?
I have a sugar problem. About the best I can do is get a half of one, but they are delicious, particularly strawberry. I like to try strawberry milkshake, but it's been a really addition to our menu. We don't serve everything, but what we do serve, we like it at its very best at all times. Well, I think you've permitted me to be here with you, and I hope you will be conscious of the fact that carry out my ask of you to eat more chicken, okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming today, Mr. Cathy. We also want to thank you for bringing along the my buddy, the Chick-fil-A mascot cow, the gift cards, and these fellows right here. The Atlanta Press Club would like to show our appreciation by making a donation to the Windshape Foundation. We hope to see you again at some of our upcoming newsmaker luncheons. In the new year, we'll be hosting Mayor Shirley Franklin on January the 10th, Dr. Carl Patton, president of Georgia State University, on the 31st, and we've got a whole line of interesting guests after that. Don't forget to become a member of the Press Club or renew your membership. For more information on upcoming events or membership benefits, please visit our website at atlantapressclub.org. This concludes our program. Thank you for being with us, and happy holidays, everybody.